Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z. Basement and in between. Ray's on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Porcelain Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to Ace on the House, man. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Ray Oldhoffer over there, man.
Hurrah, Adam.
What's going on? What are you working on?
I'm trying to match this wood flooring, right? It's a special color. It's a custom color. By the way, you can't match it.
Stuff you pulled out because of the water damage?
You got it.
You just do the whole floor. No?
No. Don't want to. But wind up going to have to. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to be. Yeah. Not a fun process. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And by the way, hardwood, super tough to sand. Floors, super tough to sand. Even with, I mean, fine. If you get the drum sander, you get the edger, yes, that way, no problem. You get the belt sander, you get, like, you know, orbital sander on it.
Well, now, hold on. Let me ask you a question. When you do a hardwood floor in 2017, are they still using a drum sander, meaning a big belt sander, or are they using a circular disky kind of thing?
No, they're using the drum, the walk-behind thing.
No discs.
That's for a different app. I mean, you might get that later, but to take the whole thing down and get it ready for whatever, no, using the drum still.
I would assume I don't know why, but I've just assumed they went to the disc, like a... I don't know why. They had discs the whole time. I don't know. Gary, look into that. Hardwood floor sanding.
I mean, we only
They're still just
the
drum sander
for,
and an edger, huh?
Yeah, but we use the disc for, you know, when you would do like a floor, you know, but a different, not sanding the floor, but different apps as far as like polishing and everything else. That's what we would use the discs for when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, like a shampooer and all that stuff.
Yeah, man.
When you'd wing it against the wall.
Yeah. Ray, you did intentionally try to break carpet cleaning equipment so you could get out of work, right?
Who did not?
I did not.
Really?
You understand, fellas.
Chris would tie the cord around his waist and run as fast as he can with the back of the van open.
We hated our carpet cleaning job so much that we'd attempt to break the equipment so we didn't have to work. We wouldn't get paid. It was a fine strategy. It's just what you want your 19-year-olds doing. Literally... Ray, with the carpet cleaner, putting the wand up against the side of the wall and jumping on it, trying to break it so that we didn't have to work, but not so that we got paid and didn't have to work, just so we could go home.
Sabotage-y.
Is that true?
I don't think I did. I ever do that?
I felt like you did it.
It's definitely a possibility.
All right. I never did that. I sort of did the math, which is, well, we're here. Might as well do it.
You did the math. We're here. I might as well cook something up.
Yeah, right behind the grill.
You.
We're looking. Was I grilling? You were cleaning?
You were grilling. I was cleaning.
Yeah. We're looking at, there's buffers and orbital sanders, but it still looks like the drum, drum sanders is the weapon of choice for the floor. You can mar it up pretty damn fast, too.
You got to keep it moving.
Yeah, the best night of carpet cleaning was the Westwood Hamburger Hamlet, where I was able to get behind the grill, fire that bad boy up.
You did us good. We gained like 8 pounds each that night.
I remember it well. It was the Hamburger Hamlet. It wasn't in Westwood. It was off of Sepulveda, I think. There's one that was in Westwood and then another one that was off Sepulveda. It was a long, kind of thin place. Deep. The grill in the front, they had the desserts, cake, and all that stuff. I opened a drawer. Must have been I opened a drawer and there are all the accoutrements in there.
The condiments drawer.
Yeah. So I opened that up, and then I guess we got the meat out of the fridge or the freezer or something. Figured out how to get that grill fired up. And went to Burger City, man.
Yeah, you did us proud.
I couldn't remember. Yeah, I probably said, I'll cook while you clean carpet.
Yeah. You were a better cook than I was.
Was I?
Yeah.
Well, your mom cooked.
I know, but she cooked for us. We didn't, help her. You had to kind of fend for yourself and make your own stuff.
Well, my dad was a Michelin-rated... Oh, no, wait. He was a lazy sack of shit who would open... I forgot about it. My dad had like three meals. My dad had, first off, he was one of these fucking guys who had like, this is why, by the way, Matt, if you want to know why I'm driven insane by all the sort of shit, like where somebody goes, where's the dustpan? And I go, I don't know, where's the dustpan? I go, oh, we got one, but it's at the other shop. And I go, they're fucking $1.29. Just get three of them and fucking have them, would you please? Okay, what's the big deal? The big deal is that this, my entire childhood was, my dad had a pot, sort of medium small pot. He had one big one for spaghetti and then medium small pot. But it was the kind where the plastic handle had heat cycled too many times and snapped off. So there was just a weird nub where you could screw it on, and you'd have to use a rag and grab the nub, and do it. And it was like the sofa was 1,000 years old. Everything was broken down. Nothing worked. There's two forks and half a spatula, and everyone is kind of making do with broken shit. And my dad would make, he did his spaghetti with the ragu right out of the jar. Take the ragu.
That was your technique, too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was his, but then it was mine. He'd take the ragu and dump it out of the jar onto the spaghetti. Then he'd take a lump of cottage cheese, because he couldn't find ricotta cheese, I guess, and dump the cottage cheese in. That was one dinner. His other dinner was just a mashed-up hamburger, chub pack hamburger, just mashed onto the frying pan with the busted handle, just sizzling away. And a can of corn. That was always his thing. Open that can of corn, get it. That would go into the pot with the busted handle. But he did a hash. He had that Vandy Camps or whatever it was, hash, the canned hash. When you open it, it's like dog
with the
food.
Cubed potatoes, yeah.
Yeah, but they're cubed, but they're eighth inch by eighth inch. They're not really cubed. They're miniature. And you pull the lid off and the shape of the lid would be on the top of the meat and it'd be congealed
with
and it'd smell weird. And it was pretty much medium grade dog food. He'd scoop that into the pan and whip, grind it around with a fork. That was his.
Here you go.
That was his move. He was not. He was not a good cook. I don't think I ever saw him. I think it's successful to say that I think my dad will go to the grave, Matt, seeker of pleasure.
I see you've announced my true name.
Yes. And Porcelain Punisher, but that comes after the Seek and Play. Do you realize my dad is going to die, and I don't think he's ever made a dish, like a meal? Like, I'm not excluding, you know, opening up cans of beans and pouring it in a... If he had a microwave, he would have used that. But, you know, like, opening cans and dumping them into a pot. I'd say the most ambitious would be eggs or the Chubb Pack burger, where you don't really season or anything. You just pull out a handful, you mash it into the pan, and you just fry it. Never a meal. Like, whatever your mom made on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
My dad is going to die, and he's never done that. I'm trying to think. You tell me. Like, I know we didn't do it 0 to 20. You know, it's not like he was back in South Philly making, you know, lasagna or something. Like, he didn't. Once he got out here, I've never seen him. And then when he was a bachelor, he just lived in apartments and lived in little crappy houses. He never made what you would call a meal. He made what I just described.
Now, did you guys
never
ever
there's never Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, no. Christmas, never no. At his place?
No. I mean, even when
my mom baked cookies for a month prior.
When he was later on in life and he was remarried and had like a normal house and kind of semi-normal job and a normal semblance of a life. Still, I can remember, like, Thanksgiving, Lynn would just go honey-baked hams. Like, she would do whatever, and or honey-baked ham, but he would never, he's not involved. I think he's going to die without ever cooking a meal.
Well, that might be my next session with him,
though. Talk to him about it, and tell him.
Make some food with him.
I got a solid one for chicken paprikash with, I'd been making the gnocchi. Not gnocchi, but no kettle noodles, the dumplings. I got it wired now.
Wow.
It's the easiest thing in the world. I figured it out. I got the big boar. I got the big boar grater with the weird cup ladle that slides along the top of it.
All right.
You pour the flour. It's just flour and water and an egg. You just mix it up. Becomes the consistency of like thick yogurt, like thick Greek yogurt, like kind of pourable yogurt. And you just sort of pour it into this hopper at the top of this thing. You put it over the boiling pot. And you just move it back and forth, and the little pieces break off, land in the pot, float to the top.
I like that.
It's awesome.
I like that a lot.
I got Olga on that shit. All right, let's see.
Did you come up with a recipe, or you did some research and found it?
No, my grandpa used to make it.
So you got it from your grandpa. Grandpa's, because I have some recipes with my mother's writing.
Yeah, my grandpa did some of that, but I remember as a kid watching him do it and making that no kettle, and then I went online and I did a little research, and I figured out it's pretty much just water, flour, and an egg, and it's the easiest thing ever.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I'll tell you what's a weird thing. Weird thing is like a wiring thing, which is this. I guess I experienced it so much when I was a kid. It's become a bit of a bizarre obsession. But hold on, I will tease that, and then I will tell you guys the key to life. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. FBI says over 1 billion lost to internet scams in 2015. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not be able to detect. And if you're just monitoring your credit, you're not going to find it. They got millions of ways to steal your identity. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. Let's not let this happen. Again, my buddy Ray over here is the only person that's ever had his identity returned. Mostly they take it.
A couple of times.
Yeah, well, that's their mistake. Stupid thieves. It's the only time he's ever had him. He's really the identity theft version of the die pack in with the bank job where it blows up in their face. They gave it back to him. He didn't want it back, but after some negotiation and a little bit of pay, he was able to get his identity back. They paid him. LifeLock. Oh, man. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business. But LifeLock, man, That's for me. That's for my family. It's LifeLock, Matt.
Act now and get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM15. That's ADAM15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right.
You think any bank robber ever got, you know, arrested after the fact via DiPak?
Yeah. What do you mean after the fact?
You know, he got away with it. DiPak blew up. He went and spent the money and got caught via the die on the money.
No, I don't think it's ever happened.
I mean, do you? I think if you pass the died bill right now, they take it. You wouldn't get, you know, nothing happen.
I don't know, Ray. That's a bizarre supposition is what I'd like to say.
I'm just saying.
I know you're just saying. Why don't you just say I saw a flying turtle?
I'm just saying it's the new Yabba.
You've seen a flying turtle?
Well, there's Rodan. I think Rodan may have been a flying turtle. But no, I'm saying I think they use die packs to catch thieves and to not have them be able to use the money or pass the money. For whatever, I think the exact opposite of what you just said.
Okay.
Okay.
I get it.
And so is everybody else.
All right.
All right. Now, the key to life. Of course, I grew up and everything was like way too much trouble. And there'd always be a big discussion. Like if we went to dinner at my grandma's house, at the end of the meal, my grandma would say, I'm going to make coffee, but if two people or less are having coffee, I'm not going to make coffee. We'll do instant. If you really break down what instant is, calories burnt. I mean, it's horrible tasting, but forget about the product. Forget about the product. What's it take to make instant coffee? In my grandmother's case, go to the freezer and get the Taster's Choice, Folgers, whatever the hell, instant with crystals, stupid. You guys don't even really know what instant coffee is, right? Like, you didn't know, like, people tortured themselves with instant coffee.
As the official seeker of pleasure around here, I could say that does not
happen. You don't even dip down
to,
like...
You guys had to get it in packets
you don't
or something
even dip
weird
it.
If you even saw it.
No, that, I don't think they've even seen it. It's Starbucks or bust. But the point is maybe Pete's, the... Instant coffee is not really coffee. It's like freeze-dried, fake, whatever. And you can imagine how bad it is. It isn't brewed. My grandmother would go to the freezer. The stuff been in there for like 11 years because she'd make it three times a year. So one thing lasted a decade. Thing was like freezer burn. She pulled out of the freezer. Have to bang on it a little bit because everything would be like clustered together. You know, you have to take a spork and go at the top of it a little, like chisel away at
it.
Yeah. And then you'd have to turn the kettle on and boil the water, which it takes a little bit of time to boil a kettle of water. And then you'd take a mug and you'd chip out enough of this Taster's Choice or whatever to U-ban or whatever to get a kind of a heaping teaspoon of it, put it into the mug. And then once the kettle boiled, you dump the kettle water in it and then you'd stir it. And when you were done, you had this brown liquid with flakes of this stuff that would float at the top. So when you take a sip of it, you'd have like a mustache of weird flaky freeze-dried stuff.
So bitter.
It didn't taste like coffee. It was just brown hot liquid. And it took you every bit as long to do this as it would to do what I do every single day. It's take a scoop of coffee. Put it on top of the thing, pour the water into the thing and hit on and go walk into the next room. But actually, when you do it this way, you can't walk into the next room. The kettle's whistling. You have to dump it on a thing. Okay. What were these people doing? Were they saving time?
No.
I don't think so. Were they saving money? I don't know. If they were, they were saving 8 cents or 4 cents or like, I don't know what they were saving. What they were doing is they were going, I don't deserve anything good. That's
Ouch.
What they were doing.
That's a tough message.
So my grandma would do coffee, but she'd only do instant, but she would do coffee if everybody wanted coffee. She'd make a pot of coffee. Because now at this point, you're actually, when you do three or four instant runs, it's actually more work now than actually a pot of coffee.
She had the math worked out, yeah.
She liked the fact that everyone would be miserable from having instant coffee, but still too much work for her. So I could remember being like 25, going over there for goulash, and like my grandma would make the announcement, anyone want coffee? And I'd go, I'll take some coffee. And then I realized what the math was. Then my mom and my grandpa, they'd pass, you know, oh, we're fine, we're good. And I'd be like, oh, shit, now I'm going to get... So then
you could double vote.
I'd get my stepdad, who was always like on John. It was like kind of on the fence, you know. John, you want some coffee? Oh, I got an early morning. Get some coffee. I have to get up early.
You'll be
enjoy,
fine.
Enjoy. It's 6:30. Come on, John. Have some coffee. Have some coffee. John will have some coffee. John will have coffee. John, if you don't drink your coffee, I'll drink the coffee for you, okay? My grandma would be like looking at him, like going for the freezer. Let him speak for himself. So with this no kettle stuff, so first off, let's not be that. Can we not be that?
It's a tough one.
Oh, it's so fucking weird. But with the no kettle, so I figured out really quickly that if you boil a pot of water and you put this thing that Matt got on the internet for me, the sliding...
So like a Julian thing or something?
Yeah, it's what it looks like. It looks like a cup with slides along the top of a grater and you put over a boiling pot. With that and a pot of boiling water, cup of flour, one egg, and just enough water to make it the right consistency... So I had this thing the other day, and I said, come on, Natalia, let's make some no kettle, which she loves, and it's great with the juice and everything for the chicken paprikash. And she's like, I want spaghetti. And I was like, just do it this way. By the way, I think Lynette's wired like this too, which is, I want to make spaghetti. It's so much easier. And it's like, you got to boil the water, you got to put the spaghetti in, you got to cook it, you got to stir it, and then you got to get the colander out, and whatever it is. Whatever that is to this, it's about the same.
It's a wash, yeah.
It's pretty much a wash. I will grant you that the spaghetti could be 8% easier to do, but this is so much better. Why wouldn't we do this?
Let's
it's like, because we don't do this, because this is cooking. Like, we don't do this, because this is this. And I'm like, get past that part where you don't do it and enjoy it.
Did she participate?
Natalia insisted on making spaghetti. So I just made, I don't know what you're talking about. Lynette? No. But Natalia wanted to make spaghetti, and I said, screw it. But
I saw you once with Natalia, and you gave her, it was so cute how you approached her, because you told her to clean up Philly stuff, meaning out on the sin lawn. And you go, listen, honey, here's the way it works.
The crap.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And you gave her this speech about, like, delayed gratification, how much of a better person it's going to make her. And she, like... I think she rolled her eyes at you, but she did go and do it.
Yeah.
She did do it.
Well, she wants a platform now. She wants me to build her. Hey, Ray, what do you think of this? What do you guys think of this idea? I don't know. I'm not a box spring expert because picture my dad and my mom, and then
you were a boogie board expert. That's what
I slept on a boogie board, not my own, by the way. That would have been an exotic item at the Corolla house. A boogie board was a big ticket, like that was a durable good. Like that thing must have retailed for $31 or something. It's like no fucking way. And Nerf football was considered out of range,
and Churchill fins
for the Corolla
boogie board.
So, I never had a box spring. I had a bunch of cot mattresses, like on weird platforms and stuff, all over the place. I never had a box spring. I never had a mattress and box spring, right? Until I was 30 or 28 or something like that. But how important is a box spring, Matt, seeker of pleasure?
You called.
I think so. Natalia wants me to build her a platform where she. In her room, she wants to enlarge her room. She wants to walk up like two stairs to like a 2-foot-high platform. There's pictures of it on Pinterest or whatever. Once you get to the landing, there's like, beanbag chair and this and that. And then we get to your bed, and then there are drawers that are built into the platform face. and all that. Easy enough. I think I got it. But I started thinking, I don't want to put the box spring and the mattress on top of the
mattress only.
Well, that's what I thought. But then I thought, what if I let in the box spring? What if I made
won't a coat? Won't you take away from your drawer space then?
It would on for that portion of it. For that. But it's pretty wide. I don't know. What do you think about the let-in box spring? The drop-down box spring?
I think it's a pretty baller move. And I know you've got a lot about mattress height and what's the ideal height. So I feel like you should definitely keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to say for the record, though, all I ever wanted in my bedroom was a fucking TV. I never got it. Oh. So Natalia should really be thanking her lucky stars here.
But your parents did it because they were good parents and they realized they wanted you studying in your room and not
probably
watching Power Rangers or something?
Like, how did you know?
Simpsons.
It wasn't a... Well, Simpsons is great, so that's good. But the point is if it was a move where it's like they're just ignoring you and poor, I would be happy about that. But knowing your parents, I think it was a more strategic move. It wasn't about money.
It's probably very true.
They just didn't want you sitting up there watching TV.
Box spring not necessary. And besides that, if you let it in, what the hell is going to fall down there?
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's just going to be catch as catch can. Anything, everything's MIA.
All right. I got you.
I mean, come on.
I mean, there's a version of this where I make it tight to the box spring and just drop it down 10 inches. But okay, I feel you. And you're right with the drawers. Joe, 31, Virginia.
Hey, Joe.
All right, let me try this and see if we get back to Joe. Matt, 36, Detroit.
Hey, man, Ray, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Nothing, guys, nothing. How's everything? Good?
Good, man. What's going on?
So I bought this. We have this cool complex over here in the Metro Detroit area. It's a motorplex. That's the best way to describe it. And there's a ton of private garages that you can buy and then build out however you want. You have access to a track on site. It's a cool place.
So winner.
Turn these into. If you're ever in the area, if you're ever doing a show, come on by. You'll love it.
Well,
in Detroit, you got to buy everything for 50 cents a little while ago, you know?
I'll be in Detroit in like 9 days or something.
Are you really? Where are you coming?
I'm going to the Henry Ford Museum to show a screening of the 24-Hour War.
You got to be kidding me.
You're right.
Are tickets still available?
I don't know. I've seen some stuff online, like tweets or whatever about tickets available. I think it's at the Henry Ford Museum, Matt. Yeah, I think it's...
Have you ever been?
No.
To the Henry Ford? Oh, it's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's gotta be cool.
I'm looking forward to it. Go online and look it up. See if you can get a ticket.
I'm already looking. Okay. I'll be there if they are.
Okay.
You
can go to... Sorry to interrupt. You can go to thehenryford.org/24-hour war.
There you go. All right, go ahead, Matt.
I'm there. So, hey, make some time to come by. So, most of these garages are being turned into man caves. I'm turning mine into an office. I'm a computer guy currently working from home, and I need to build a bathroom in this place. It's basically two levels. It's 750 square feet. Wow. Bottom is concrete. Top is a steel mezzanine. And I'm putting in, it's a brand new build out, so we're not doing any demo work. Putting in a full bath upstairs, and I'm really debating what I should do as far as shower. I assume it's either going to be one piece fiberglass or whatever they're using, hardy board with tile, or they have these new like shower wall kits. Kohler makes something called Choreograph, but it's basically four walls.
Oh, Corian?
Yeah, it's just Corian walls.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So it's four walls and a base, a shower pan, and I assume you just caulk it together, whatever. Do you guys have any opinions on pros and cons of one or the other? I mean,
well,
obviously the one-piece fiberglass is cheap.
Here's my take on a lot of building stuff, which is the bottom of the barrel stuff, the fiberglass stuff, screw that. But... Okay.
There's a higher end version of it too.
Well, it's like having to get out the hardy backer, the green board, or whatever. Now they make this. oh, whatever, Dura sure. Rock. No, I got this stuff. It's called, it's like, they make a board that doesn't need a vapor barrier behind it.
That purple stuff.
No, it's like bluey gray-blue stuff. Whatever, it's easy to find. They have it out there. You tape the seams with mesh tape and thin set. You go over the screw holes with thin set, and you're ready to tile. Yeah, but I like the Corian thing. If it's modular and it's just a square box and it doesn't have to fit anything custom or anything like
you're
that,
done.
And you're doing a full build out. Go, Gary. Show me some of those kits, Corian shower kits. But
look by the way, Matt, put a bench in there too.
Put a bench.
I was going to do a nice big bar. I mean, it's 36 by 48. Like, I can't imagine, honestly, like, I'm going to be using the shower, like, maybe twice a week.
Oh, maybe.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
No, it's just to wash the stripper glitter off before you go home.
Yeah, then go with the prefab one. It sounds like a decent deal.
Yeah, I like the prefab. I like the prefab. Not, yeah. You know, let me say something. In the old days, prefab was death knell. A prefab house was a pile of crap, prefab shower, prefab anything was horrible. Basically, the prefab stuff is stepped up. We're looking at it. The prefab stuff has stepped up a lot. And to the point where a prefab home, a prefab shower, they can be very nice now.
Absolutely.
It's like the fixtures. You go to Home Depot now, you go look at the plumbing fixtures, they have a lot of nice fixtures there that you'd be happy to put in your home.
And it doesn't scream Home Depot.
Right.
I mean, occasionally it does, but it doesn't.
But in the past, you'd go and it was all apartment fixtures.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Everybody's got the to-do list. Pick something up, drop something off. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? Well, you got to go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why wouldn't you do this, man? Put a little extra money in your pocket and a little walking around money. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance at Geico. All right, let's see. Power rankings for countertop materials. All right, well, speaking of Corian. Hey, Scott, 40.
Ace Corolla, what's the poop, my friend?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Oh, and hi, Ray.
Hey, Scott. You're swell.
Just a little topic of discussion for you boys.
Mm-hmm.
What are your power rankings for countertop materials? You got your granite, you got your quartz, you got your marble, you got your solid surface. You guys were just talking to a caller about Corian.
Yeah.
And then you got your outliers. You got your butcher block. You got your concrete. And then, of course, you got your laminate, which Ray probably has in his apartment.
I have.
Scott, you're on a roll. Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing good, Ray.
Yeah.
So, power rankings, Ace and Ray. What do you guys think?
Well, first I'll tell you about a couple of nightmares. I didn't know anything about stonework, and when I did my first house, somebody decided, I was working with like a designer chick who I didn't really want to work with. She just kind of like showed up or something. It was one of these things where it's like, anyway. She made the countertop out of slate. And then, of course, I don't think we sealed it or anything, and it was a fucking mess. I remember when Daniel came over, and he's like, "We're making margaritas, buddy." And at some point, we had a margarita party with some chicks or something, and I woke up the next day, and I saw that there was a lemon, a half-cut lemon. This is Daniel's move. Half a cut of lemon sitting face down on the counter, and I was like, oh. And I picked it up, and it looked like a daisy had just been etched into the counter, and I was like, oh, wipe this off. And it was there.
No.
It was like burned in.
It ain't going anywhere.
So not that. Then later on, Jimmy had his house, his first house that he bought in the hills near my house. He had that house remodeled, and they did the kitchen, and they did a butcher block, and they did an overmount sink.
Yeah.
And they put the seam for the butcher block like right in the middle of the sink at like a 1-inch thickness. And it was like, I just went, why'd you go with the overmount sink? And it took about 3 weeks and everything was warped and screwed up and a and a mess. So let's not do that. I have Caesar stone at my house, and I love that. So, and it's durable, it's shapeable, it's everythingable.
It's impenetrable.
I like the Caesar stone stuff. That's the win-win. After that, you know, granite is great because you can get it in a million different things now. It used to just be it was that Palm Springs 80s granite, weird brown or whatever that just...
Now they have the heat flashed one where it's like pitted.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
There's tons of things, but I'm going to put the butcher block and the, what did I say mine was?
The Caesar stone.
I'll put the butcher's block.
Style stone. There's a bunch of different ones.
No. The one I was talking about with the granite. Sorry, not the granite. Ugh. The roof. Corian? No, the one at my house.
The slate.
Thank you, caller.
You're welcome, Abe.
Yeah, I'm going to put the slate. Fan. And well, Scott knew where I was going. I'm going to put the butcher block and the slate at the bottom. And anything else is above it. Marble I've had, too. It's not nearly as bad as slate. Not nearly. Everyone goes, ooh, marble's soft. Marble's tough. Marble's this. Not nearly as bad as slate. And all you have to do is seal it, you know, occasionally, and you'll be in pretty decent shape.
Or hone it. Like, get it, make it matte versus, you know, shiny, polished.
Because well, also, how about you fucking clean up after yourself before you go to bed?
That's another one.
Yeah, there's another one, too.
Durability key, though, Scott.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to give you the least amount of maintenance?
Let's talk to Jeff, 40, KC.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey, man. Ray.
What's going on,
what's
man?
Happening, Jeff?
I have a rental horror story to give you, but I want to say that cooking, very important. And I learned how to cook with my dad in an apartment because he didn't give a shit. And it was a great place to learn how to cook.
Wait, how come him not giving a shit? How's the him giving a shit factor?
Well, cooking.
I was a latchkey kid, you know, 1980s.
Uh-huh.
And he would come home, and if it was hot, he didn't really care. It was a great place to learn. I mean, holy shit, there's somebody here cooking for you.
All right.
And I got tired of eating, like, you know, stuff out of a can. So this is where I learned how to cook.
So your dad
experimenting.
Your dad taught you how to cook in the apartment.
No, I just learned on my own. He didn't care. He had no input whatsoever.
It started off that free reign.
Started off
like
with
your dad.
Cook with your dad, and then it went to he didn't give a shit, and then we got confused. Hey Ray, you and Jeff, Kansas City spoken word tour.
It's a good one, Ace.
Hey, you guys.
Stuff.
Well, you know, I could just cook whatever.
Does it bug you guys how thin phone books are? Huh?
Hmm.
You know how thin, how wafy thin they are?
Just let him go, Jeff. Just
especially
let him,
in like Los Angeles or bigger city, just how thin. No one else is bothered by this. Okay. How about bothered by how thick toilet paper is? That bother you guys? Nothing. Nothing. Huh. I don't know where you guys are hanging.
So, Jeff, what's happening?
Oh, I have the worst rental history.
You think a siren on an ambulance has ever worked? Think anyone's ever pulled out of the way?
All right.
Ever? Yeah. Me neither. All right. Jeff?
Yes, sir.
So your dad watched while you flambéed in the kitchen?
No, he was never home.
Oh.
He lived in an apartment, and you could just cook whatever you wanted.
You were latchkey. What was he doing?
It's like a science
lab. Union teamster. He was a teamster.
So he was driving?
He loaded trucks for a living. Yeah. Loading trucks.
All right. And he was never home.
No. And I had all day to figure out what to cook that night. And I would just do whatever, you know. Whatever was around. I remember one time we had a turkey. I didn't figure out how to take the giblets out. You know, they were in the fat, frozen plastic thing.
Yeah.
First time I ever cooked a turkey. You know, left that shit in there, frozen as hell.
Yeah.
But it was a good place to learn because, you know, he was always happy to come home to a hot meal.
And what are you doing now, Jeff?
Oh, God damn. What am I not doing?
Yeah. Good answer, man. All
Jesus
right.
Christ.
You got a question?
Well, I was hoping for a Mr. Brightside.
All right.
I had the worst. I can't even explain it. The worst I own a couple rental properties, right?
Wow. What happened? Somebody died? Who left you those properties?
Well, that's true. Somebody did die, and now it's my problem.
Yeah. I know the difference between the guys who bought the rental properties and the guys who got them at the funeral home. But go ahead, Jeff.
My father-in-law, all right, I married well. My father-in-law had the good sense to buy a duplex when his daughter was in college.
Yeah.
And he's since passed away, and I have to deal with his shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a leak, water leak.
I told my dad he should buy a duplex. He said, "You can't buy a wrestling move, son." And he walked out of the room. That's how he got to where he's at today. Go ahead, Jeff.
Smart. Anyway,
Everyone in my family's on a wait to die notice. Like all my my mom and dad's real estate strategy is waiting for people to die. That is their strategy. All right, go ahead, Jeff.
I'm 0 for everything in that.
I know. God, you got apartment. What'd you get? Did you get a first and last back?
Yeah, I did.
You
yeah,
did? Yeah, yeah. All right, you got a cleaning deposit. Yeah. That's not too shabby. Okay.
What?
Jesus Christ. Really? Jeff, come on, man.
All right.
These people ain't getting shit back. They let a water leak go for months.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a plumber out there, and I said they couldn't find a leak, you know, because it's not in my immediate neighborhood. And I had a professional plumber come out and check it out. Couldn't find a leak. Anyway, they let this leak go on for months, and it's rotted the subfloor out, and I had to replace all that and put down new flooring. And it's just been a real nightmare. I don't know what it is. Like, all you had to do was call me and be like, "Hey, there's a leak. It's wet. I don't know what's going on, but it's wet."
All right?
Just call me.
I'll give you Mr. Brightside on this. You have rental properties that somebody left you. Now, maybe the subfloor is screwed, but the idea that you got left rental property puts you way ahead of the game. Ray, how much rental property has been left behind by your two deceased parents?
Zero.
All right. Well, there you go. You're now ahead of Ray in the game of life. Normally, you springboard ahead of Ray in the game of life when you're born.
It's good stuff.
But sometimes
Laugh
Ray
it
will...
up, Gary.
But then you could be burnt in an industrial fire or end up in prison, and then Ray will start to catch up. He won't pass, but he'll start to catch. But then then you get the rental property, and you spring ahead again, Jeff. You understand?
Congrats.
There you go. See, Jeff's in a good mood
now. Go fix
the
fucking duplex and shut up.
Well, he'll have somebody do that. All right, it's a laminate countertop question over here from Jimmy, 45 in Idaho, wants to do a little laminate countertop. I know a lot about laminate work.
True.
I ended up having to do a lot of old school laminate work when I worked for Tom Johnson out there in Chatsworth, California. I'd be in a shop, like just working alone all day, just laying up laminate and trimming it. And, you know, he'd help me, like show me how to do it. You know, we used to do.
But you'd be there alone, though. That's crazy, especially with the tools you're running. I mean, a lot of them, you know. Like, I don't like my guys on the scaffold or ladder alone.
Oh, alone, yeah.
I don't like that.
He'd be in the front office and I'd be in the back. But when we would do a unit, like, you got a picture. I'll tell you about it in a second. Matt, seeker of pleasure, I will tell you about this I'll tell you about how meticulous this laminate stuff is in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Talked about taking precautions a second ago, man. You have a case for your cell phone, so that thing won't break down. Identity theft protection. What about your family? Yeah, don't leave someone on the scaffolding alone. What if they fall? How about Simply Safe? No hassle. Just order it online. Completely wireless. Comes in a pre-programmed. Works right out of the box. Install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in your wall, no exposed wires, no pulling wires. It's that easy. It's round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch, only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contract. So go to simplysafeadam.com, get 10% off. Save yourself 10%. Good company, great guy. Great innovation. Batteries last up to 10 years. Have the thing up and running in less than 20 minutes. An hour. Less than an hour. Go to simplysafeadam.com. Get your 10% off your home security system. So we used to do laminate. We do laminate we do like a big, you know, display with 25 drawers in it. You do the drawer face and you do all four sides with laminate too. It all came out of like a 5 by 10 foot sheet. You'd be like ripping up slivers of it.
Would you use an edge band or no?
No.
No?
Well, this is why I'm saying this to you, Ray. We would rip up slivers of it and put it on all four drawer sides times, you know, 20 drawer faces, filing every edge, doing every lacquer thinner, fingernails, the whole nine yards. It would take forever to do like one drawer face and do it nicely.
Do it not
and, yeah, filing, sanding blocks.
Not sharp. It just,
yeah, not sharp. We had, there is a laminate. We had a laminate strip cutter. It's a weird thing. Two wheels, you know, dial it in, turn it in, set it for 7/8, push it. It would cut the laminate. You could do it on a table saw, too.
Right. It had like a little round disc in there that clamped down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
I know, but boy, do you learn how to lay up laminate when that's, you're just alone all day. Just like, that's all I
did.
How
would it stick? Do you do the double the adhesive on both sides?
That's the only way you would do it.
Have to.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
You do each contact cement. Each side, they'd have to wait till each side was completely dry, and then once it touched, it was welded. Jimmy, 45 Idaho?
Right on, man. Great show. You know, me and my brother-in-law, we changed the name of the show when you're not there. Is, you know what we call it? Tarred on the Tool Shed.
Wow, Jimmy, you're good.
It's a good Mellencamp song, dude.
That's good.
Oh, it's a great one, man.
Fucking
it's
hang up on this dish.
Wait a minute.
No.
I think
you
have something important to say.
I do.
Go on, Jimmy.
And hey, Adam, thank you. You're like my long-lost brother, and you just saved me a huge hassle. My whole life I've, you know, been responsible, paying my own bills and stuff. But that tip you gave me about a week ago to get my mom to co-sign on a credit card with me,
okay,
that was brilliant, buddy. That was brilliant.
Oh, okay, this has become her fault. Right. We're going to have to keep it 40 minutes, and then I'm going to have to cut you off.
Okay, no problem. You know what my dream vacation is to come out and hang out with you for like a week.
That's great.
I'll give you Ray's home address. All right, listen, wants to do laminate countertops. All right, here's I'm cutting him short. Here's the deal.
Good.
Go out and explore the crazy world of laminates now. There's every kind of brushed metal, every kind of
them.
They have metal, they have everything. Go get it. It's
when you get the swatches, Ace, they're like, it's like 25 pounds of
keychains
on a keychain.
Yes. And do it. It's
good luck, Jimmy.
Get a little router trimmer, put your trimmer bit on. It's real easy to do now.
And send some pictures in and see how much you fucked up.
Joe?
Hey, guys. I had a question. You guys were just talking about carpet cleaning not too long ago.
Yeah.
For doing my own steam cleaning, that kind of thing, is it worth it? Doing the rental from the store, is it worth getting my own system, or is that something you really need to call the pros and to actually get it clean enough that it's worth it?
I will say this, and I think Ray will agree. You can pay the guy to come clean your carpet, but he's not going to put his back into it like you would. You know what I mean? Like, you get that steam cleaning wand, and you really go at it.
You're sweating bullets.
You're sweating, but you'll clean it. That guy's just going to give it a quick once-over and be on his way.
Hit the traffic lanes doubly hard.
Yeah. I'd say rent a steam machine and go at it, because you're not going to be satisfied with what they do, because they just won't go at it like you would go at it.
And then make sure you get your chemical ratio right,
yeah.
Or else you're just going to foam everything up.
Soil
and it's gonna be
bust,
a big
mess. Polycon. Ray, weren't you trying?
Oh,
weren't you? Ray was. I was going to say online, but Ray was looking up what the chemical composition of Polycon and soil bust, the stuff we used. And he figured out it was cancerous.
Well, it says it on the bottle. Come on.
That was another one of Ray's ploys to get out of work, I think. Wasn't it? I remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
I remember you were looking
it
up.
I mean, it was horrible.
Of course it was horrible. All right. Where were we? Alone on History, man. Back for a fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into an unforgiving wilderness, but now it's 5 competing teams, brothers, fathers, and sons, and a married couple. Different kind of survival show. Besides their teammate, they're truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. No gimmicks, no forced challenges. This thing is true, man. On History. the teams are split and equipped with five items each. So there's five teams, ten altogether, five teams of two. They split them up. They give them five items each. To win, they must find each other and survive on North Vancouver Island the longest. Sounds, I tell you, every once in a while, that sounds good to me. I wouldn't last it. 10 minutes, though. 500,000 at stake. New episodes Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 central on History. All right. Let's see. Irvine Improv, the masterclass, the podcasting masterclass. That's August 5th. That's 6 hours long with a lot of names there. So, and if you want to know about it, you want to come out, you want to learn about podcasting, check that out. The cruise, Ray's going to be on the cruise. Key West and Cozumel, man, November 30th. We're going to break down Cobra. We're going to do live pod. New balcony rooms just added, so check that out. No Safe Spaces, the dock, go check it out. No Safe Spaces, Prager. I got a Corolla Drinks event coming up, music and comedy. Dawson's going to be playing there. Loxie's going to be playing there. That's Saturday, July 29th. Just go to CorollaDrinks.com. You want to support the show, you can visit AceOnTheRoof.com. Click through the PayPal button. Do all that good stuff. So until next time, Adam Carolla, Ray Oldhofer, saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.